You know, no matter how much time you spend around the ocean or working on the ocean, as do commercial fishermen, you can't help but be fascinated by it, right? It has a breadth and length and height and depth to it that's astounding. Did you know there's a place in the Pacific Ocean that measures 36,000 feet deep? It's called the Marianas Trench. And it's so deep that you could take Mount Everest and stuff it in the trench and it would still be covered by a mile of water. That's deep, right? Speaking of mountains, the longest mountain range on Earth is the Mid-Ocean Ridge. How long is it, you ask? Glad you asked. It's four times longer than the Andes, the Rockies, and the Himalayas combined. Yeah, how about this? 90% of the volcanic activity on Earth occurs in the oceans. Yeah, crazy. And this was really odd. The top 10 feet of the water in the oceans holds as much heat as the entire atmosphere. Whoa. One more oddity. The pressure at the deepest point in the ocean is the equivalent of 50 jumbo jets sitting on your chest. Yeah, I think they call it squished. That's a nautical term, squished. But again, the more we learn about the ocean, the more we realize how much more there is to learn about the awesome wonders and dimensions of the ocean. But still, as fascinating as this is, friends, this all pales in comparison to the dimensions of a kind of ocean the Apostle Paul appeals to us to search out. And we find it in Ephesians 3. And this is one of the most intense prayers found in the Scriptures. And it calls for us to be explorers. Explorers of the breadth, the length, the height, and depth of one particular wonder. So let's take a look at it. It's in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19. I'll go ahead and read it through. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Wow, what a prayer, right? You know, as I studied through this passage, it reminded me of the early explorers, as they would spend weeks and months gathering supplies and charting their course and readying their preparations to set sail out on their journey. I remember the story about Sir Francis Drake gathering a group of men in England and sailing around the world. And most of the men were broke when they left England, but each was a millionaire when they returned. They were sailing the ocean and receiving the riches. You know, that's what sailing the ocean of God's love makes of us. Wealthy people beyond measure. You know, the Apostle Paul speaks to us like one who had been on a long voyage. He's filled with wonder and awe over what he's seen and experienced. He'd been deeply affected and changed. And then he searches for words as he tries to describe it all. In fact, he says something that's rather startling. He says this ocean of God's love, which he'd been exploring, even surpasses knowledge. Surpasses knowledge. Now we're not just meaning the knowledge of this love, but meaning surpasses knowledge itself. Think about that. surpasses knowledge itself. Think about what Paul is revealing to us here. Now remember, the Apostle Paul, he was selected by God to be the author of most of the knowledge of the entire New Testament. And this also required that God personally reveal to Paul the knowledge of God's plans back through the Old Testament. In fact, God even revealed information to Paul about the way things were with the Godhead before even there was a creation of the universe. So, plus on top of that, in order to enable Paul to understand the whole counsel of God, the Lord translated Paul into the third heaven. Do you remember that? Into paradise. And in paradise, he took him on a fact-finding tour of what's in store for God's people. So Paul had acquired the knowledge from eternity past, from the history of mankind, and into eternity future. And so here, then he then says to the Ephesian believers, and he says to us, and even taking all of this into account, he said, above and beyond all of this, there's something in existence that surpasses even this body of knowledge. And it's the sum total of the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. Wow. Just imagine. Next to everything he learned, next to everything he had seen, still he was overcome and overwhelmed by something about God himself. You see, while Christ was personally instructing Paul about every doctrine of theology, it was the love of Christ that overcame his soul. And while he was being given, remember, the tour of the dwelling place of God in the third heaven, well, with its indescribable beauty, all of its splendor, he couldn't take his eyes off Christ. He couldn't take his eyes off Christ. Remember, later on he wrote, you know, we need to remove from our lives anything that deters us or anything that detracts us from following Christ. We need to be serious about that. We need to set it away. We need to put away any sin that so often makes us fall. And the way that we do this is by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Amen? Well, you know something? You know, we tend to spend so much of our time with our eyes fixed on the problems of our lives when we're instructed to keep another focus. We're instructed to fix our eyes on the person of Jesus. Not the problems of this life, but the person of Jesus Christ. We be sheep, remember? We don't do so well when we take our eyes off of the shepherd. We be sheep. We're prone to wander, as we sang in the songs. So when we sheep don't keep our eyes on the shepherd, we tend to default to our faults, right? We default to our faults, and then we wander off into the thickets of life. But if we spent more time looking to the source of life's solutions rather than just looking to solving problems themselves, well, you see, that would change the way we go about solving everything we do or face in life. Because to live a Christ-centered life, Christ has to be the central focus of everything in life. And when he is, then our eternal fascination with Christ is with Christ and on his love. And then that love grows and grows within us. Think about this. You know, even when Paul would go and he would teach the Gentiles and the Jews about how to live as disciples of the Lord Jesus, He would teach them about this way. But in essence, he would say, all right, I will tell you about what the Lord Jesus Christ said, but mostly I want to tell you about what he's like. Mostly I want to tell you about him, about this person that you're following, about this person who is the King, about this person who is the Creator. I want to tell you about him. I want to tell you about Jesus himself, especially about his love, which surpasses even knowledge itself. Wow. You know, Paul had been so deeply affected by the love of Christ. Hey, it just changed his character. It melted and remolded his heart. It transformed his life so much that he said, well, now the love of Christ controls us. He was saying, it controls me. The love of Christ controls me. And brothers and sisters, this experience of the love of Christ, that's what brings joy to your life and will enable you, as the apostle said, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, being rooted and grounded in love. That's what he's talking about. Well, okay. Maybe you've sensed it already in your own life. Maybe you've sensed it already. Maybe you know what it's like to feel the burning in your heart for the Word of God. Remember, like those who heard Jesus speaking the scriptures on the Emmaus Road? Remember that? Maybe you know the settled peace of the Apostle John as he said, we love him because he first loved us. Maybe you know the inner passion of Paul when he said he died for all. And therefore, all died. And he died for all that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on our behalf. Well, hey, praise God if you have sensed something of this longing for God and for God's Word and for God's will. Praise God for that. And it's because you've been exploring, like the apostle, you've been exploring the love of Christ, which surpasses even knowledge. But you know, if there's not much of a burning at all in your heart for God's Word, if there's no anticipation or gratitude when you think about Christ and how he loves you, if the apostle's testimony sounds kind of far off to you, well, even if you have received Christ's salvation for your life, you haven't really experienced much of the wonders of his love. You've sort of been hanging around the docks or walking around the shores, but you haven't sailed out on the sea of God's love. But friends, you can't know the depths of God's love by standing on the shore. John Ortberg wrote a book called If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat. Kind of a funny title, right? But it's good. But now in this case, if you want to sail the seas of God's love, you've got to get into the boat. You've got to get into the boat with Jesus. Let him take you out further than you've ever gone before in finding out about and learning more about and experiencing the love of God, which surpasses even knowledge itself. And hey, don't worry, you can't get seasick on the ocean of God's love. You'll feel fine. You feel better, really. But you can see new wonders about God and experience life in new dimensions or in ways that are wider and longer and higher and deeper than you've ever experienced before. But that means you have to be willing to go where you haven't gone before. or at least to do life in ways that you haven't done life before. You've got to not just let go of what's been draining life from you. No, you've got to take hold of what really gives life to your life. And that's the love of Christ. You see, the experience of the love of Christ is what gives life to your life. And this can be your experience in life because it's what Paul prayed for us. God will answer that prayer. Paul prayed that the inner man might have the spiritual strength, which will in turn lead to a deeper experience with Christ. And this deeper experience will enable us to apprehend or to get hold of God's great love, which will result in our being filled with all the fullness of God. That's how it works. You know, I was thinking about this, and I thought, you know, since we live right next to the boat ramp, that maybe we should get a Chapel by the Sea tour boat. Huh? What do you think? Yeah. And you see, the goal of the tour boat would be to take people out to look at the ocean in a new way, to see it as the ocean of God's love. It'd be a tour of discovery of the wonders of the sea and the wonders of God's world and the wonders of God's word and the wonders of God's love, especially as shown in the gospel. Well, it's just an idea at this point. but you can mull it over, all right? And kind of intriguing, though, isn't it? Hey, we already have a ferry boat captain as a member, Captain Ray Parker. Back there, he can do the job for us. God bless you there, Brother Ray. But something we can discover is what has already been revealed to us in 1 Corinthians 13 about love. But this time, let's think about it. Think about this love from God's point of view. And since we know that passage well, we'll just talk it through. So, since God is love, we see that God is patient. He's telling us that He suffers long with us. He endures our slights and neglects or injury or provocation from us because He longs to see the good fruit which will come from His patience with us. We discover that God is kind. He's courteous and does not take advantage of our weaknesses. He treats us respectfully and with honor, and seeks to work things together for good for us. We discover God is not envious. He is happy that we have received good from Him, but will caution us, don't place the good above God. We discover God is not boastful. He does not look down on us or misuse or abuse us. No, He's concerned about our concerns. And He cares about every humble request and need of ours. We discover that God does not act unbecomingly or seek His own. God is not rude with us, does not look to gain anything at our expense. Rather, remember, He left His riches and became poor so that we could be rich in Christ. We discover God does not rejoice in unrighteousness. He rejoices with truth. God takes no pleasure in injury or harm. He wishes ill to no one. And that's why He despises evil and the damage it brings into people's lives. But He rejoices in the gospel. He rejoices when truth sets people's hearts free. He rejoices when sinners ask Him to save them. And He rejoices when believers pledge their loyalty to Him and pledge their lives to worship and serve Him. And we discover that God bears all things, believes all things that are good, hopes for all things in an assuring sort of way, for all things that are good, and endures all things even when they're not so good. God covers the multitude of our sins with His love, and He buries our sins in the depths of the ocean of His love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. And He does not leave us when we go away from Him. Rather, He keeps close to us like a shepherd, calling His sheep to follow Him. He wants us to know that He has a good life and a life of good plan for us, if we will walk in His steps, if we will follow Him. And He wants us to know just what we really mean to Him. And so He tells us in His Word. And let's read this through together here. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you, and you are mine. You are precious in my sight, and I love you. Did you know God says that to you? That's His words to you. Amazing, isn't it? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. And we also discover from what Paul tells us in Ephesians that even with everything we've learned about God and learned about His love for us, still, it's only a fraction of what we have yet to learn and to discover about God's love. Because even the knowledge of all things is surpassed by the love of Christ for all of us. Wow. You know, we often talk about what our activities will be like when we get to heaven. What we will do there. And it's just wonderful to think about and explore the Word and talk about it more. And while we know that the activities in heaven are going to be fascinating, from everything from our service assignments there that God gives us to us as rewards for serving Him here, to our reigning with Christ over all creation, and more, still, our ultimate fascination will be with the person of Christ Himself, especially the love of Christ that will engulf our experience every day of eternity. And like the angels, we too are going to be amazed at the holiness of God, at the perfection of His nature. We'll be in constant thanks for His mercy and His grace, in which He withheld His judgment for our sins because He paid our debt. He paid it Himself. And then He gave His favor to us without measure when we didn't deserve it. And we will worship Him for all of this, and for all of His other attributes as well. But still, again, our eternal fascination will be over this love of Christ, in which there is no limit to its breadth, length, height, and depth. And so, you see, friends, what will be our eternal fascination in heaven is what Paul prayed would be our daily experience on earth. Because remember, your very quality of life depends upon your comprehension of Christ's love. That's what's revealed to us by the apostle from our Lord. That you may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for revealing this wonderful, amazing truth to us about your love, which surpasses even knowledge itself. How, Lord, we are in awe of you. How we need to know more about you, and you're longing to teach us more and more each day as we come to you, devoting ourselves to you, committing ourselves to the Lordship of Christ in our life each day, and learning to know more about you, and that we get to experience something of this love of Christ. Lord, help us to overcome the confusing habits that we often have and just looking at the struggles and the problems and the trials around us themselves, and instead of fixing our eyes on you first, and through you then see how to deal with the troubles and the trials and the struggles. Through you, Lord. Because the source of all the solutions, the source is you. And then, Lord, the more we look to you, the more fascinated we will be with you. And like the Apostle Paul, then we can, when we talk to others about our faith, and talk to others about theology, talk to others about the things of this world and the things of creation, we can say, yes, I'll tell you about these things, but most, I want to tell you about what Jesus is like. I want to tell you about him. Lord, may we become more and more caught up with you. And the more that we are caught up with you, the more we overcome things of this world. So we give you thanks and praise, Lord, for your patience with us, your love for us, and teaching us these things. Thank you for encouraging our hearts this day. May each one sense something was very special from you for them today, that we can go out then and be carriers, be those like branches who carry the fruit of the Spirit and the truths of the gospel to others. Use us, Lord, for your sake. Use us for your sake, Lord. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. It's been a pleasure to worship with you today. And if we can be of help to you in your own walk with the Lord, please let us know. We're going to sing another great song. And then if you're able to stay, Brother Brian will lead us in a time of prayer for the persecuted church. God bless you all. Have a wonderful Lord's Day.